Introducing Coco Gauff's signature shoe, more than just a tennis shoe. It's a fusion of 90s-inspired style and cutting-edge performance technology. With its sleek mid-cut silhouette, it's designed to enhance speed and power on the court. The multi-piece upper construction delivers high-energy return for players of all levels. Whether you're a seasoned pro or just starting out, the Coco CG1 empowers you to dominate the game. Learn more and purchase the Coco CG1 at NewBalance.com.
Welcome to the Behind the Racket Pod, the podcast taking you behind the racket with today's top tennis players and biggest issues facing the sport.
Behind the Racket is a community to give fans and players in the world of tennis the opportunity to open up like they have never done before.
Visit BehindTheRacket.com for the latest stories, merch, as well as direct links to all of the latest podcasts. It can also be found on iTunes, Google Play, Pandora, Stitcher, and wherever you find your podcasts. Download the episodes and make sure to leave a review.
And we want you to be a part of the conversation. Find me at NoahRubin33 or Mike at MikeCTennis on all forms of social media. You can also learn more at BehindTheRacket.com or MikeCTennis.com.
Special thanks to my sponsor, New Balance. Visit their latest shoes and styles at NewBalance.com and learn more about their program of giving back at #NBGivesBack.
You can also help support the podcast by visiting patreon.com/behindtheracketpod and receive rewards from our travels around the world. And now.
I need to preface everything we're doing here today as Noah and I are catching up from, we're both at home. Which is weird considering you've already played in a tournament this week and there is a USTA Pro Circuit Challenger going on this week at the same time and both of us are at home. So, you know, the world is flipped upside down. But I need to preface everything, Noah. You've already heard it before we started recording. Sewer cat. This is the ongoing saga of the cat that I've adopted from the sewer. She is now, as I've gotten home, she's now free to roam the house. However, it appears that she's in heat. And before anybody starts saying anything, she has an appointment in a couple days to get spayed. But she is just walking around the house screaming because she's in heat right now. And so it might interrupt the podcast at some point. We're only going to do a few minutes here just to kind of catch up and talk about the last week. But before we get to the Mitchell Krueger interview, but Just be prepared. That's what's going on. There is a cat in my house who's really looking to have some kittens, and nobody here can provide anything for her. So just deal with it.
Sewer cat. Sewer. Name locked and loaded. Sewer cat.
Sewer cat. Her real name is Brutha. but yeah, she's just walking around the house, just meowing. And, you know, it's just when I got like 4 hours of sleep, that's exactly what I wanted to come home to. So, you know, how are you?
I'm okay. It was interesting. Not that I love losing two events before our guest wins one, but no, actually, I played some good tennis in Atlanta. I was excited to get in. I always like being there. Elbow felt good, which was kind of a number one concern after back-to-back weeks. I know it was just only two matches, but served well at 13 aces, which is, as my good friend Max likes to say, if you look at the number between the height and the aces, they don't correlate for once. And the body gave out. Nobody saw. I actually threw up a little bit on court.
Oh, good.
It was 105 degrees. It was a lot. There was a lot happening. But for me, that's a step forward. I know, you know, I'm trying to post these positive Instagram that I haven't done in quite some time, but it feels good just to be out there competing. It is extremely disappointing that there's no events in August to kind of look forward to. So at this point, it's, you know, working with my new team in New York that I have in a physio and a strength and conditioning, feeling ready for either U.S. Open qualies or Winston-Salem Open. So I'm excited for that and actually feel pretty good for the first time in more than a few months, which I know you can attest to as well.
I will say that I have had, you know, we did pregame and then a post-match.
Congratulations for that, by the way. The pregame was good.
Thanks. It's a really cool way, I think, to start interacting with people more and more right before the matches get started in a more unfiltered way. But one thing I got the question multiple times on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday was about you. I'm just like, this is about me. This is my show. This is not the podcast. This is mine. But people are, it's interesting because, people are intrigued. Now you're kind, I mean, like, this is, I don't mean it to like, you're kind of like a interesting sideshow at this point. Like, you know, can this guy actually have gone into the wilderness and then come back for, you know, and come back from the dead and like wearing a big bear fur skin and having eaten a bear heart at some point?
Yeah. That's exactly the same sewers that your cat came from. We came out victorious together, but it's funny. It's almost a game for me as well, and that's what I'm kind of trying to make it out to be. Is like I'm putting myself in super uncomfortable positions, whether anybody likes to admit it or not. I mean, I'm putting my ego aside, my pride aside, and saying I'm going to lose tennis matches right now. That is what it is. I'm going to put myself in the closest position possible. I'm going to act like I'm going to win everyone. And let's see if I can get back to not only where I, you know, was, but, you know, where I think I deserve to be based on, you know, the effort and the level and the tennis that I can perform. So, again, it's an interesting schedule, kind of looking into August and September. It's very unusual, and we have a few events, but regardless, I'm just getting myself in a place to be locked and loaded for 2022 at the Champagne Futures. No chance. No,
I'd travel back. You could stay at my mom's house. She would be happy to have somebody staying at her house for a while, I'm sure. But I will say I'm going to phrase this right. You had in three straight weeks. I mean, not easy draws. Playing Mitch,
right,
you know, who's obviously serving well and qualified at his first 250 in Newport. That's a, you know, tough draw. Next week, right, you come to Cary, and Maxime Cressy is not exactly a fun matchup when you haven't played a lot of matches and you served for a set. And then winning a set against a perennial top 100 guy in Donskoy. Like I know, like, moral victories don't count for shit, right? Because you don't get money, you don't get points. But I like, for me as your friend, it's you competed well, you show that you are at that level, and then it's just one of those things. It's like coming back from an injury, really, like a long injury period. You just have to get matches under your belt so you feel that comfort of when you're serving for it at 5-4. That's old hat.
Yeah, I think for me, I'm kind of starting to believe in those moral victories a little bit more, and I never did. And I think if you don't take those away, and the anger is going to be there, the disappointment, you know, the motivation is going to be there. If you can't take away the moral victories from it, then it's just, it feels like a complete failure. Yeah. So I think I'm, you know, with all the work that I've done with, you know, my performance coach and everybody else around me, I think it's just saying, no, you haven't played tennis. You're here, you're competing with these guys. Plus, take that away. You know, you have to, because if you don't, then you're just going to be, you know, a negative piece of shit.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm trying not to be. And then I am actually excited to be out there competing. I don't love throwing up on court, but it at least shows that I'm putting myself in a position to take down some of these guys that, you know, have been grinding out here for more than a few months. But, you know, it's just seeing your face up there in the corner. It was nice. I have to say it was refreshing.
Yeah. I will say, between you getting to see you compete well again,
right.
Like, let's take Orlando last year. That was horrendous.
That made
me want to vomit myself on the court. But that's but between seeing you competing well and actually like staying focused in a match, that was a big deal for me. But then the other one that really got me this week,
easy,
when it was a match he lost. But when Stefan Kozlov, in the first game against Ramkumar Ramanathan, comes up with, I think it was two passes and then this absurd, including a one-e, and he looked at me each time, and I'm like, oh, shit, it's Koz. He's come back. He's here. Seeing Koz back like at that moment was just like, oh my God. And his body gave out too. And it just made me think again about this idea of just like, you guys and there, you two are not special. I mean, like, multiple people are dealing with this, right? Like, that first time back playing multiple matches in a week and playing, you know, three or four times, like Kaz's body went out, your body has gone out. It's
right.
It's hard, and that's a long-term, I mean, that doesn't come even if you're practicing for weeks. The match fitness is a completely different thing other than just fitness.
Oh, yeah, no, I mean, the strain I'm putting on my body just from my muscles being, you know, contracted so differently than they do in practice necessarily. But it's funny with Kaz, I think there was a hatred for guys around his age, and that included myself, from, you know, guys from, you know, 99 to 96 in those birth years, that like, God, if I see this kid practicing on court when we were like 15 and I hear that or see those come on, like, you hated it.
Yeah.
You know, it just like, you cringe. But over time you learn to like appreciate the effort that he put in, the things he can actually do with a tennis racket.
Yeah.
And once he had a little bit of this dip, and like, you can appreciate now seeing that again, it's so tough not to crack a smile.
Yeah.
You know, he's dead serious. He sees that, but it's like this excitement smile of like, we're about to see some very unique skill set on the court.
Yeah.
From Stefan Kozlov, because he always brings something new. You don't know what he can do with the racket. And I think it's been a minute since we've seen that. So it is refreshing again to see that. And your bald head and me actually playing some tennis.
Govind Nanda was a fun surprise to watch. He competes incredibly hard.
Good kid.
Yeah, very nice kid. He's got some work to do physically. I'm going to lump you in with Kaz and him as well. I mean, guys who are around that 5'9 to 6 foot range, I mean, it's always going to be challenging. And Govind's going to have to deal with that. Let me ask you this. Why do you think that Jensen Brooksby didn't get a wild card to Atlanta? Like,
lot of these tournaments have settled a month or two ago. You know, this is what happens. And, you know, I get it. You know, he still didn't have Newport at that time, so he was a challenger winner, you know, multiple challenger winner. I get that. But a lot of these places have ulterior motives, and you know that just like anybody else does. So, you know, when they're looking at these wild cards, they are setting themselves up for success, whatever, you know, way that means. And
Let me look at the wild cards. I get Jack. I get it, because that helps. That helps sell tickets, and I get that. So your other wild card, I guess there's only one other wild card. It's Trent. Oh, it's no Milos. Trent Bride, who won the competition to get in. So that's, again, a different story.
Well, that's it. I mean, who else, you know, you can't do it. You have these stacked up. You knew Jack was going to be Jack. And then, you know, are you going to really give it over Brooksby and Milos? I mean, I can make an argument for it, and I like Milos. I have nothing against him. But, you know, it's Rynich. You know, what are you going to do with that, you know?
I think it's one of those, I get Milos. Yeah, and you do too. You and I both get Milos, we both get Jack, and then you have a wild card competition for the other one. I guess I can't argue with it. It's just it's just me being like the challenger guy, right? And being like, damn it, challengers mean something. Yeah, if you win them, you get wild cards.
And it should. I mean, it really should, and I think it does. I mean, I think, you know, if I'm not mistaken, he's going to get probably another two in August, if I'm not mistaken.
I would guess he gets Cincy in the U.S. Open.
Cincy, and you, I mean, he's definitely getting U.S. Open. I mean, I'd probably bet my last $6 of my checking account on that. And then for these guys, and it's always been kind of a protect your investment, which it should be. I'm not definitely not going against this. But if, you know, for the guys that are most likely getting U.S. Open wild cards, they should be getting into Cincy, especially since there are no other tournaments to play. You know, this is it. You don't play Cincy, you don't have a match prior to the U.S. Open.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think at this point, the U.S. Open main draw wild cards are fairly secured.
I think there are five or six that are secured.
Right. You know, I would say even close to seven. I probably, there's one real wild card. But besides that, it's, you know, of course, USC does the thing. They always, you know, come with one or two that are, you know, everybody has something to say. But, you know, I think, you know, with how a lot of these players have been playing, you know, you can make a lot of cases for, you know, especially with Pietrangelo qualifying, winning a round in Atlanta. You know, I get that he's older. He just turned 28, and I know USTA, they go back and forth with that. They're like, oh, we don't want to help them, but at the same time, we're going to still help them, you know, if they've made it far enough. So I think Bjorn can make a great excuse. You know, you have no reciprocal wild cards this year for people that are wondering. So there, you know, are no wild cards that are given to Australian Open or the French Open. So that's an extra two there. You have, you know, NCAA champion, you have Kalamazoo champion. You have, luckily, Murray is going to get in on his own ranking, most likely, which helps a lot of people. You know, Eubanks, I think, is in the running for one.
So
it could be a tough one. You know, I think if he puts, he's in Lexington, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Yeah.
He puts, you know, one okay result, maybe a semi, I think, would secure something like that for him. But, you know, it's tough. You know, there are a couple interesting wild cards there. I mean, does a Christian Harrison sneak one in? You know, does, you know, you have a few interesting ones that have consistently been there this year, but you never know. I'm just hoping to be a ball boy on court 13. So,
and then my daughter still wants to be a ball person for you. So if she's a ball person for you while you're
the ball person.
Yeah. Okay. I think that works out just fine. Yeah. Chris is playing a qualifier. As of recording time, it has not been set, but yeah, it's a pretty good draw there, actually. I mean, with Brooksby Draxel in the first round, like the number one college player against Jensen flipping Brooksby, Harrison and Thanasi.
Which Harrison?
Christian. Ryan retired again. Second straight week with a retirement. I don't know what it was, but yeah. And Mitchell Krueger was supposed to get the two seed, but pulled out right after Mitch won. So everything was coming up Mitchell Krueger on Sunday.
The guest coming up. It's good to see Mitch in the winner's circle. I mean, I was practicing with Ruan Rolofse when it was 4-2 in the tiebreaker for Blomberg in the third set. And, you know, Blomberg is not an easy opponent. For people that don't really know his style, don't know him from college, he is, you know, a very talented, fast on his feet,
powerful,
smart tennis player with a good forehand, good serve. When he gets a few matches, and he's very dangerous, and especially coming out very excited to play right out of school, very dangerous. So that was for Mitch to win 5 straight points at that. You know, obviously people are going to test to, you know, maybe his draw, but, you know, for Mitch, every match is going to be a grind. He's kind of one of those players, and for him to get through, you know, playing that kind of way with not having a lot of challenger wins under his belt, playing a Ramanathan who is under any circumstance and entertainment, had his posse, had his group there. But it was exciting. I think for Mitch, it's, you know, could be a little bit of a turning point. You know, it's just, again, disappointing for him that there's not enough events in August to kind of continue that momentum, I think is a tremendous aspect. So, you know, if he doesn't make his way into the U.S. Open as well, if he's in qualies and gets an early loss, could really be a shame. But I'm, you know, everybody roots for Mitch. It's kind of tough not to.
Yeah.
You know, he puts the effort in. You know, if you want to use this word, it's tough. It's a journeyman. He's kind of that, you know, basically that headline. You know, this is a guy who high ranking has not been inside 150, if I'm not mistaken.
Right.
And a guy that has always been there, and like my good friend and part of Behind the Racket, Zach Mitchell, calls him MK3. You know, he goes three sets. He was going three sets like 60% of the time, and he just battles. So for him to kind of sneak by with a few straight set wins and feeling good and right after being married, I think it's a good thing for him.
On that note, let us talk with Mitchell Krueger. This is the interview that I did with Mitch immediately after the match on Sunday. We'll be back as well with another guest next week, but here's the interview I did with Mitchell Krueger, winner of the Atlantic Tire Championships in Cary. Hi. How are you? You're fine. This is yours.
You have a mic now.
Yeah, I mean, this is... That one I've had for a while, but this mixing board, when did you do the pod? Was that Zoom? Did you do the podcast with us? I can't even remember.
like when?
Oh, we did it in Dallas. Oh, yeah, that was right. It was like it was very, very low tech, but
that was
like,
just on your phone, wasn't it?
No, we did it. I had a little machine. Oh. But yeah, now we're live on YouTube and Twitch right now. I'm recording this so I can get it to the ATP for you. I'm just trying to condense my
Jack
work.
Of all trades.
Yeah, I mean we're trying to do a little bit of everything. But Mitchell Krueger is our champion here. Do you need a water? This is for you.
I would love that. Actually. Yeah. I'm so thirsty.
I do want to just ask here. That was a tough moment in the trophy presentation, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, a ball person. I
didn't see it happen. To be honest, I was walking up and I saw her down. I was like, oh.
Yeah, I know. That was just like one of those moments where it's just like, holy, I've never seen anything like that. A ball person hitting the ground there, but I hopefully mean, she's all right. Yeah. So congratulations, first off.
Thank you.
I want the first question. Obviously, there's a lot of drama, but the first question has to be here about just the level of professionalism this week, because it seemed like there was just the priority for you was just getting through, being businesslike, and just finishing and taking care of business. Is that something you've been working on lately?
Yeah, I mean, it's always something that ideally you want to happen. You know, I know it's kind of like a running joke among a lot of guys that I play a lot of three sets.
Yeah.
Whether that's a good thing or a bad thing, you know, if I'm down, I always fight and try to come back. And if I'm up, you know, like, there's just a lot of three-set matches.
Yeah.
This time of year, when it's super hot, super humid, you obviously want to spend as little time on court as possible.
Right.
You know, you don't want to add that added stress of like putting too much stress on finishing the match, you know? But it's kind of towing that balance, like that fine line of knowing that you don't want to expend as little energy as possible, but you know, you also don't want to get ahead of yourself and try to just blow through the match and make some bad errors and mistakes. And I thought I found that line really, really well this week. And, you know, I thought the one thing I thought I did the best this whole week was probably serve top to bottom. You know, there was a little stretch in the match against Oliveri, I think, where my serve dipped.
Yeah. And but, it affected your return game as well.
Yeah. I mean, but other than that, maybe one set, every other set I thought I played this whole tournament, you know, my serve was clicking. It was just a couple of maybe over aggressive errors or you know just not executing the way I need to, but you know I definitely came in big in some of these big moments, especially today. There were some close games and I dug out a few close holds that could have potentially changed the match for sure.
The one you didn't, obviously getting broken at 6-5 in the first, I was frankly very concerned about what happens in those first few points of the tiebreak.
Yeah.
What clicked for you in those first few moments? I thought I actually said on the stream I anticipated you being down 4-2 at the turn. So what clicked?
I mean, it's always easy like when you're in those long deuce game point, you know, like,
and set points. I mean,
you just have to put it behind you. And like I just said before, you know, it's when it's so hot and humid and you're already being super physical out here, the last thing you want to do is kind of drain yourself even more by adding some unnecessary stress. And I thought I did a really, really good job of whatever, accepting that it happened and starting off strong in the breaker, because, you know, it would have been very easy for me to go down a quick mini break or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
The way he was serving, you know, he connects on a few serves, that could be the whole breaker.
Right.
So I thought I handled that really well.
Obviously, in the second set, things got a little bit messy. you know, with Rom, he can have these moments where it's that gamesmanship thing, however you want to describe it. And I don't want you to, you don't need to say anything over the line, right? But I guess I did plenty of that myself. He was at one point talking to Dave and Jeannie.
He was talking to everyone.
He was talking to everyone through that. What was going through your mind in terms of what you needed to do, because the match was still in doubt, even though you're up a break?
I mean, I thought I was more liable to kind of fall into it early in the second.
Yeah.
You know, my first serve game, and then obviously that serve game that I dug out from Love 40,
right,
I thought completely changed the match. But once I did get that first break, you know, it was a little easier for me to kind of like just let him do his thing, take care of my serve, try to get an early lead in some of my serve games so that, you know, I'm not playing from behind and not adding too much pressure on myself.
Yeah, but please feel free to drink more water if you need to.
No, it's all right. I'm hiccuping. I think I've drank too much. But yeah, I mean, like you said, I don't want to cross the line or anything, but you know, I have some thoughts on the match and I probably don't want to say what I'm thinking, sure. But at the end of the day, I'm just glad I got through it.
Yeah.
Managed all the extra whatever that was going on, yeah, and stayed focused on myself and closed it out well. So I'm more than happy.
I mean, ultimately, that's kind of the thing, though, right? I mean, like, no matter whether it's that, so much of this at this challenger level, you have guys who are all somewhat equal in talent, right? Oh, I mean, it really seems to me, and it always has, just these mental rises, ebbs and flows that you guys go through, and you're going through a good stretch right now. How do you maintain that from tournament to tournament and week to week right now, especially trying to peak around the Open?
I mean, I think the biggest thing for me has just been getting that consistent match play.
Yeah.
I think I mentioned it to you earlier this week. Like, it's just been so hard this year for me to get a lot of consistent tournaments because, you know, there has been very little tournaments in the U.S. You know, it's been tough to travel a lot, especially earlier in the year. It's starting to pick back up a little bit, but even this summer, it's not ideal.
Right.
You know, after Lexington, I very well could be done until U.S. Open. You know, who knows what's going to happen in the next few weeks if I can get into some of these other tournaments. But at the end of the day, I can only control the tournaments I'm playing. And, you know, I thought last week in Newport was a good first week qualifying. I actually... It's kind of funny. It was the first time I've qualified into a 250. I completed my, whatever you want to call it, my like
you got trifecta. Your GED.
Yeah, you know, that was the last level of tournament that I needed to qualify into. I've done Slam, Masters, 500, and like the 250 was the last one I needed, and I finally got it. And granted, it was on grass, but you know, I was feeling really comfortable, and obviously carried that through here.
Yep.
And yeah, I mean, I'm looking forward to continuing this next week and see if I can get into DC. If not, I'm planning on playing a UTR money tournament in Dallas the week after Lexington. So
I mean, you got to take advantage of what opportunities you can at this point.
In Dallas, I can drive there. I can stay at home.
Yeah.
I figured it was a no-brainer. You know, I'm like 25 out of DC qualies.
Yeah.
And I know a lot of these last few tour events have dropped a lot, but I don't think that one's going to drop like all the others. So
it's going to get kind of desperate for players trying to get ready for the Open.
Yeah, I mean, I'm actually pretty lucky that I even saw this UTR tournament is going to be there, because I had no idea until I saw someone posted that there was a women's one going on a couple weeks ago, and I was like, oh, didn't even think to check. I'll take a look. Sure enough, dates coincided the week after Lexington, where chances are I'm not going to get into a tournament.
Yeah.
So I was like, this is perfect. Well, match play, you know.
You're going to have to look out for ATP champion Hans Hock, though. I mean, that's the trick.
I know, but it's a good effort. Good week for Dallas.
No, I mean, it's a fantastic week for Dallas. I mean, if you guys could just maybe keep your Dallas Cowboys offense healthy.
They're the ones that need to win now, not us.
Big picture, though. Listen, I know whenever you and I talk, we've known each other for a long time, so it's pretty comfortable. But you're a quiet guy, really. I've always thought that it's really been important for you to have this kind of family atmosphere, and you're now starting to be able to bring Jeannie with you a little bit. Obviously, Dave, you know, the traveling coach, you've also got Dave Licker, Brad Stein's keeping an eye on you, your parents too, obviously. Mm-hmm. It's a group. It really feels like a family, and I'm hoping you can kind of just talk about how all of these relationships, you know, coaches, wife, parents, dog, everybody kind of comes together and what that means to you both on and off the court.
Yeah, I mean, you nailed it. That was one of the toughest things for me, I think, through a lot of the COVID restrictions was just having one guest week to week, you know, because the last 3 years or so, Jeannie's been traveling a lot with me, you know, not every week, but she loves to come and support and do her part. And she, you know, obviously makes a big difference being there for me. And I feel like most weeks that she's there and I have that kind of setup that it goes well and I have that kind of familiarity. And I mean, especially Dave too.
Yeah.
Getting him over here from the UK, you know, it's been tough for him as well, obviously with a lot of restrictions. And I'm lucky that we all communicate really well, Dave and Dave Licker and Brad and everyone. You know, even though they're kind of got one guy in the UK, one guy in California, one in Dallas, but you know, they all know each other well and get along well and stay in touch. And you know, we usually have a pretty active group chat,
yeah,
through some of these tournaments when it comes to game plans and strategy and that kind of thing. So I know I have a lot of people supporting me, yeah, that can't be here because there are still restrictions, but you know, it's definitely feeling that support is there. You know, it makes a big difference whether they're actually there or not. Yeah.
Well, I don't want to keep you because, frankly, I know you have a long drive in front of you in a minivan. In a minivan.
Hey, the minivan is actually really comfortable. The setup, you should see the setup that we've got. But
who's driving?
Well, Jeannie loves to drive, actually. Okay. She loves a road trip.
Okay.
So I wasn't too big on driving at first, but they kind of both talked me into, yeah, it. But it is nice having a car, having the freedom.
Yes.
Having the car there in Lexington, yeah, as well to kind of move around as you need, and
yeah,
you know, it kind of takes the pressure off. You can kind of go on your own time. But
are you going to eat here? You're going to have a nice, I mean, listen, you have to have some, it's 3:45. Do you have, yeah, like a celebratory meal at some point? I mean, you want to make sure you celebrate because it's a tough matchup in the first round for you.
Yeah, I actually haven't even checked.
Okay,
but
I won't say anything.
But no, but Jeannie let it slip last night. We were packing up, and she's like, "Oh, you see, you played Bolt," and I was like, "God, like, I didn't want to know." But yeah, I mean, obviously, he's been doing well.
Yeah,
we practiced together a few times in Newport on the hard courts before we both left, and yeah, I mean, look, especially when there's so few tournaments, there's very, yeah, few easy matches out here, yep, and you know,
you just got to do it.
What it is. Yeah. I can only control how I'm playing and what I'm doing, and you know, as long as I'm playing like I've been playing this week, I think, you know, should hopefully be a good match.
Well, but I know there are a lot of people very proud of you. I know actually Jeannie just texted me because your parents were trying to watch this interview as well.
I don't even know where it is. What, YouTube?
YouTube
or Twitch?
Twitch. Okay. We got, I mean,
I've never used Twitch. I'd hate to tell you.
I know. Listen,
I'm not much of a streaming gamer, but
these are the things, though. I mean, like the ability, you know, you guys to interact with fans is a big deal. Like Peter's down in Dallas. He wanted to make sure he's congratulating you, Gator 70. I mean, this is kind of, it's pretty important. You know, like I'm realizing more and more, and I really am going to let you go. Like the opportunity for human connection right now in any form is, mm-hmm, pretty important. And I think we all kind of like, I miss you guys when I don't get to see
you
for a while. But I like, it's truly, I think it's important. And it's why it's so important to have these fans out here, Little Rock here in Cary. And
I mean,
look, semifinal and win in those 2 weeks.
I'm not lying. Like it makes a complete 180 difference as opposed to playing with nobody there.
Yeah.
I was talking to someone earlier this week playing Little Rock, where there was hundreds of people, kids, adults, just having a good time, enjoying, yeah, the tennis every single day. And then the next week in Orlando, playing in front of literally airplanes and,
right,
and you.
Yeah, me.
Because I didn't have anyone there with me that week. It's just, it's so hard to manage those ups and downs. And,
yeah,
you know, who knows what things are going to be like in the next few months. But, you know, hopefully things start trending more towards this direction. And
I hope so.
I'm hoping U.S. Open doesn't change.
Yeah.
I know there's full capacity and no restrictions as of right now, but
yeah, it's a scary time.
We all know how that goes. Things can change at the drop of a dime. But
yeah.
Oh, I'll be there. So
that's the important.
I hope
part.
That there will be other people there able to support me. But that's
I'll be whatever. There. I will be there.
Calling the match. There we go.
Mitch, congratulations. Second title is it a big one for you?
Yeah, I mean.
It's pretty.
They are hard to come by.
They are.
Some of these other guys out here, I feel like, win titles every week. You know, I'm not going to name names, but you know, make it look easy. It is, yeah, not easy, especially in this time of year.
Yeah. Well, it was well earned this week. The forehand looked fantastic.
Thanks, yeah.
Serve was amazing. And yeah, just incredibly professional. I'm very happy for you. Congrats.
Appreciate it. Thanks.
Go take care of your dog.
I just heard him bark.
Yeah, I did too. I think Dill's ready to celebrate. Dill's got some kibbles.
The whole way home.
All right, I'm going to let you go because you got a long drive.
I
well
appreciate
done.
It. Thanks.
I will turn off your microphone. I'm going to say goodbye to the people here. It's already off. I got this little mixing board. Yeah, it's I got all sorts of fun things. We can even send you off with applause. It's amazing. Travel safe, and I'll see you Cincy or the Open. Okay. Definitely the Open. Okay. Take care of yourself. I'm going to come say goodbye to Jeannie. Okay. All right, folks. Thank you for being a part of the pre- and post-games here throughout the week. We will continue this at the next Challenger I'm at. I'll see if I can try to figure out a way to do something in Cincy and New York just to kind of engage with you guys just because, frankly, I miss doing it when I don't get to. But, yeah, if you want to catch this entire interview, I'll post it on YouTube. It'll be there so you can go back and listen to anything you might want. I really appreciate everyone for being a part of this week. Like I was just saying to Mitch, I'm getting emotional here for a second. The interactions I get to have with you guys means so flippin' much. It really does. Like I think of these guys like my, you know, like my brothers, my much younger brothers, all of them. Like I just want to see them succeed so much. So I'm happy I get to do it in person, and I'm really happy to get to interact with you guys because, man, it makes everything worthwhile. It really does. I appreciate you. Thanks for everything all week, guys. And yeah, we will talk to you when we talk to you, hopefully sooner rather than later, okay?
Introducing Coco Gauff's signature shoe, more than just a tennis shoe. It's a fusion of 90s-inspired style and cutting-edge performance technology. With its sleek mid-cut silhouette, it's designed to enhance speed and power on the court. The multi-piece upper construction delivers high-energy return for players of all levels. Whether you're a seasoned pro or just starting out, the Coco CG1 empowers you to dominate the game. Learn more and purchase the Coco CG1 at newbalance.com.
The show might be over, but the conversation isn't. Join us on social media at NoahRubin33, at MikeCTennis, and at Behind the Racket.
Expect new episodes every Monday or Tuesday. And don't forget to leave us a rating on iTunes. It really helps us expand and reach more listeners as we take you behind the racket.